He recognizes that the scene is indifferent to his moral categories. It does not concern itself with permission or transgression. It concerns itself with structure. The hiding is not wrong or right. It is correct. The erotic unease grows heavier. It presses against his awareness, demanding attention without offering release. The image seems to insist that the state of watching is itself the point. The pressure is the condition. He becomes aware of the layering again. The scene appears as itself and as the ground for other scenes that are not shown. Each layer rests upon the last. The image supports more than it reveals. His body remains still. Stillness now feels like participation. Movement would introduce noise. The scene tolerates no noise. It prefers precision. The dread and the erotic charge continue to braid. They do not cancel. They reinforce. The dread heightens sensitivity. The sensitivity heightens the erotic pressure. Together they narrow the field of experience. He senses that something has been decided. Not by him. Not by the image alone, by the configuration they form together. The watching has crossed a threshold where it no longer counts as observation. It has become installation. When the scene finally releases him, it does so gently. The image remains on the screen unchanged, yet he feels that something has shifted in how his world will receive the next image. The next night, the next act of attention. The hiding has taught his body a new alignment. The modal structure has tightened. And with that tightening comes a certainty that the dread will return, accompanied by the same erotic unease, refined further each time until the world itself feels organized around the act of watching. The cat mirrored him. It began sleeping in positions that restricted its own movement, curled tighter than necessary, tail pinned beneath its body. When it stretched, it did so minimally, as if extension were a cost. He continued editing. He created a long sequence composed entirely of thresholds, doors opened, but not cross, clothing loosened, but not removed, bodies positioned, but not engaged. The camera hovered at the edge of action and refused to proceed. The sequence lasted nearly an hour. When he watched it, time outside the screen thickened. The clock on the wall ticked, but the ticks no longer accumulated in minutes. They existed as isolated pulses, each one complete in itself. He realized then that the porn was no longer signaling desire or transgression. It was training constraint recognition. It taught the viewer which moments mattered, not because they were climactic, but because they fixed the range of what could follow. The longer the delay, the narrower the corridor became by the time action arrived. It was no longer an expression of choice. It was a discharge. He avoided discharge. He favored delay. The internet responded. He began encountering scenes that were almost identical, differentiated only by the order of preparatory gestures. In one, a garment was straightened before a shoe was removed. In another, the order was reversed, the difference mattered. One sequence tolerated looping, the other destabilized when repeated. He discarded the unstable one. His catalog grew precise. He no longer grouped scenes by theme or tag. He grouped them by tolerance. Some sequences tolerated infinite repetition. Others degraded after three loops. Others collapsed immediately, reversed. He learned to feel this before testing it, the way a person learns which surfaces will bear weight. Outside the screen, the narrowing advanced. He attempted to cook a meal and found that the steps no longer rearranged freely. The recipe insisted on its original order. Deviations produced resistance, not failure, but friction. The dish completed, but it did not belong. He threw it away without tasting it. He began eating simpler foods, foods that did not require sequencing, foods that could be paused. At night, the dreams changed again. The levers were now embedded in bodies.